This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live Shell Shack in Mesquite. If you're just cutting out of work, join us. Delicious food, beverage, a terrific dinner awaits you, and you'll be entered to win dinner for four worth up to $100 if you set foot in here and say what's up to the nation. Okay, Expressway's coming up in about 17 minutes, and Dax talking about Mike McCarthy. We're going to get to that. Okay, you'll want the content, but before we get there, in addition to football's finest, here's the Chief.
You're definitely going to want that Dak content. He is. He might be caping for old McCarthy. He might be putting that McCarthy cape
that
on.
Momentum is building for a Mike McCarthy to remain as your head coach.
It's like a Snuggie. It just sort of it wears him more than he wears it. Yeah. But it is definitely something that is going to fire some people up, Dak with some quotes. Now, man, a lot of stuff going on in the NFL right now, and one of those things I want to hit you with is a little stat of the day. Do you guys know who leads the league in receptions this year?
CeeDee Lamb.
Sadarian
Lamb. I don't think CeeDee, I think, fell off this past weekend.
He did.
Okay. Now leads the league in drops.
Now Lamb is number two.
How about our guy, one of the dudes at the Rams?
One of the Rams guys?
One of the Rams.
Nakua.
I don't think
Cup.
It's either of them. They missed time.
They haven't played enough. I have the top five right here, and most of these names won't surprise you, but the guy at the top of the list.
Is it a tie? Wait. Time out. It's the it's our
– McBride?
I'm going to say it's our tight end from the Raiders.
Oh, Brock Bowers.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, Brock Bowers. Yeah.
Rookie tight end out of Georgia, living up and really exceeding all of the...
How close is he to the rookie record for receptions?
Didn't Nakua get that last year?
He did, and I think he just broke Puka's record for the most catches through Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Okay, so he might be pacing to beat
that. Okay, here we go.
But right now, he's obviously on pace to be the first rookie tight end to lead the NFL in receptions in NFL history. Dude.
Fantasy
he's got
football
84
dudes.
He's got more catches than Chase, Lamb, St. Brown, Kelsey, Malik Nabers. That is your top five there.
Okay, fantasy football dudes. Is that a guy that got drafted quite a bit by fantasy people?
Bowers?
Well, he definitely got drafted, absolutely, but not high. Not high brought us. And at the tight end position, in fantasy, the tight end position is hard to come by studs because everybody's just like, can I get 12 points out of my tight end for the most part? I drafted him in one of my leagues like pretty later in the draft, and he is one of the main reasons why this year's version of the Chupacabras is on pace to potentially do some serious postseason damage.
Laporta was probably the top guy taken, and he's been disappointed.
Yeah, Laporta, for sure.
And McBride, I don't think even has a touchdown for their.
Yeah, he's
Cardinals.
Been rough.
No, I saw the stat of the day. Well, McBride's been good this year. Don't get me wrong, because I have him in another league. He's a 10 catches, 90 yards.
Who's our guy?
But no touchdowns.
Who's our guy? Buffalo.
Oh, Dalton Kincaid.
Kincaid's the one.
Kincaid's hurt.
Yeah, Kincaid's the one. There you go. Okay.
Yeah, I saw a funny stat about McBride. Like, Josh Allen has more touchdown catches than him this year.
Oh, that's
You know.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Crazy.
But McBride has been good. It's just been one of those weird things where he can't really find himself into the end zone. But I thought that was. I mean, dude, Brock Bowers, tip of the cap, dude.
Yeah, for
that's going to be an immediate, like your Shedeur Sanders or whatever quarterback's going to step into there. That's more than a security blanket. That's a rocket ship disguised as a security blanket.
I feel like we've had so many tight ends come through over the last decade, and almost every one of the most hyped ones been a disappointment, except this guy.
Yeah, he steps right in, and he's just a true monster.
Probably because he's a big wide receiver, not a tight end.
Yeah, he basically is.
I do wonder how much inline stuff he's doing and how much blocking he's doing.
Yeah, he was. I mean, in college he did some of that stuff, but man, he was such a mismatch player, playing flexed, playing in the slot, playing in motion. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do with this cat.
Jet sweeps. It was crazy.
Yeah, dude, the jet sweeps at Georgia were lethal, bro. So that's pretty cool stuff right there. We do have the documentary things that we're getting news on, like Aaron Rodgers. I keep seeing clips of his Netflix documentary, Enigma.
They show him taking the journey. Like the
ball tripping?
Yeah, they show him doing that.
Well, I saw that it will detail not only his rebound from the injury,
but the tribes and stuff.
It says an inside look at his drug use.
Yeah, exactly.
That's part of the tease for it.
Yeah,
I'm going to be down to watch this, dude. I am definitely going to be down to watch this. Something I would not have been down to watch had it come true. You guys are familiar with the Philadelphia Eagles security guy, Big Dumb.
We met him.
We got to meet him.
We met him in the tunnel.
That's right. And you guys said, what did you say about Big Dumb? He was nice.
He was actually a really nice guy. I wanted to hate him, but
he was very pleasant.
He was very,
very friendly. Yeah.
Well, he's a guy who loves the camera. He loves just finding a way to get into the background of every shot.
He loves
to make it about himself, but big surprise, headline reads, Big Dumb DeSandro reportedly turned down a Hollywood movie deal about his life. And Eagles fans are praising him and now calling him, like, the actual MVP. And everybody wants to give him all this credit for his presence and stuff, but now they're saying, like, dude, the fact that you didn't do this and make it about me, the Eagles fans are really, like, this is good for him. This is a good PR move for him, and I am shocked that he turned that down.
He might end up being the next head coach. The way that they love him over there.
They do.
My gosh.
Howie strikes again.
Apparently they put a headset on him. I know Merrill didn't know anything about this.
We asked Merrill. We asked Merrill.
Oh, I remember.
But Merrill, yeah, they did. And I don't think they've lost a game since.
No, they haven't. He put on a headset. They've been all like,
That's a really good limited fake.
I can't stand Merrill.
Merrill Reese. He's actually a sweet guy. I don't want to say that either. I don't take any joy in that.
Fortunately, Bob Papa, I can say sweet. I would dodge the Merrill interview.
I am tomorrow back in studio, I am pulling your Bob Papa Thanksgiving intro. And we're gonna relive that sink into that for a second.
You don't need to do that one. You don't really want to do that.
Yes,
make sure
I
you
do.
Text
no,
him you and let him know what no. time it's gonna be.
No, yeah. I'm texting Peyton Russell because I know who'd really drop the ball here. That was Peyton's fault. That's the payload for you right there. He mails it in after 6:40 on Thursday. You can't depend on him on Sunday.
No. I love when Sean yells.
That's not me.
That's not me. Sorry about that, Bob Papa. Welcome to the program. I can't wait to hear that.
I felt so bad.
So apparently...
It's Wolchek's first time to meet him, and he just like he looks at Wolchek immediately and goes, "That's not me."
Like, I'm the one that's playing this. I'm like, Bob, I'm so sorry, dude. It just kept going on and on.
And then who was it? Phil Sims?
Yeah, Phil. I tried to say
we kept playing.
Well, hey, at least Phil Sims, another former Giant legend, was part of the audio.
I love it. I love the way you spun that.
I tried to spin it.
That was impressive in real time. What do you think? What do you think Najee Harris is talking about here? Running back for the Steelers. They beat the Bengals. But early in the game, Najee Harris on Sunday was sidelined for a brief period. It was like in the first quarter. And his absence from the field raised eyebrows. But his response after the game, he says he was talking about Pat Freiermuth's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And he's the tight end for the Steelers. And he says, man, it was Thanksgiving. Pat's girlfriend, Jill, she made this fire-ass little banana thing. I had too much. I guess I didn't know it affected me until that first drive. So I blame her. So I guess it was just like, I don't know if he was just too full.
Tummy guts.
Or if, yeah, a little bubble gut situation
bananas,
going on.
Bananas can run through you.
Yep.
But fire-ass little banana thing, was this maybe banana pudding? Okay, so if you have a dialed diet with no sugar and you go heavy dessert, all of a sudden you'll wake up with bubble guts. That's what I'm thinking.
I think she had like a banana pudding kind of thing that went along with the meal.
But it's like, are you eating this pregame? Because this is like a noon, this is a 1 o'clock Eastern time kick, and you're still fighting. You're still fighting through the fire ass banana thing from what I'm assuming is the night before, or perhaps even a couple days prior. We're talking about Thanksgiving.
They played on Sunday.
Did you bring leftovers to the stadium and had a little fire ass banana thing, thinking that would get you going before the game?
This
and
fire ass banana thing.
And then it backfired on your ass.
I think you're on it. It sounds much more like Bad Bird. You know, thawing out that bird can be tricky. You leave it on the counter, and by the time the inside is thawed out, the outside is already getting too much salmonella on it. I think that's what he's looking at, probably. It's tricky. You got to thaw it out for days in the fridge.
About a week.
And then if you want to speed it up, you got to take it out like 2-3 hours at a time.
Yeah.
If you leave that thing out overnight, you're playing with fire.
And if you're Pat Fryermuth here, you're like, dude, why are you throwing my girlfriend under the bus here?
He put her name on it and everything. His girlfriend, Jill. Okay.
But Jill made fire ass something.
Right. See, he wasn't like, exactly. It was almost compliments to the chef. I ate
he
so
was blaming,
much.
He was blaming himself for the bubble guts.
No, that's fair. That's good justification.
Yeah.
Ruling changed.
Like, Jill can cook. Pat's a lucky dude.
Might have been Jill's mom's turkey that really got him. He didn't want to talk about her mom.
I do know Jill moms, they can't cook turkeys. But the Jill dads, they smoke them.
Huh.
I got a little personal there for a second.
I thought so.
Did it?
Yeah. And I respect that. By the way, speaking of the Steelers, you had Russell Wilson throwing the football around the yard, and it had actually been – he throws for over 400 yards. It had been over 1,400 days since the last time a Steelers quarterback threw for 400 yards. And, of course, that was
Ben Roethlisberger.
I was hoping it was going to be Duck Hodges or something, but
Mason Rudolph.
It was Big Ben.
A week
but
for Duck Hodges.
Big Ben dropped back.
Mitch Trubisky.
It was 68 times. Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball 68 times in that game.
Who'd they play?
Let me see who they played.
The Browns.
It was the Browns. It was a playoff game. It was a wild card game. Browns went up 28-0 in the first quarter, and then it was just drop back city. And
that was his last game.
That probably was his last game.
His arm just flew off.
Yeah, dude.
He had to retire.
Is this a real quote? Have you guys seen this, or is this a ball sacking about Bengals wide receiver Jamar Chase on facing Trayvon Diggs?
I didn't know. I saw this earlier, too, and I thought this might be ball sack, but I like the quote.
I've seen it a few times now.
Why am I thinking of Blake talking about Jills and, like, they're badass crazy?
Oh, that was Taylor's.
I know, but when he said the name Jill, I just thought about it. I know a Jill.
Brain.
She's badass crazy.
I'm not going to step in it
sounds
anymore,
like Wolchuk might, too. The quote is alleged from Jamar Chase on Trayvon Diggs to be, I still have sleepless nights thinking about the last time he shut me down. That was probably the only time 7-Eleven wasn't open. So I don't know if that's real or not, but I don't even know if Trayvon Diggs is playing in this game. Yeah. So we'll see.
Crack.
You're going crack on that?
Yeah, he's not much of a wordsmith.
The old sack or crack situation.
I went to school at LSU. None of us are.
Jerry Jeudy.
That's why we're on the radio 5 hours a day.
Jerry Jeudy, 7 catches, 215 yards last night. Only 20 of those yards came on Pat Surtain. So,
they had a fun back and forth.
There you go. Find the dudes that can't cover.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Find the dudes. But, obviously, Denver's got dudes that can cover.
Yeah.
They
start picking on Riley Moss, the white corner.
Yeah. Oh, that's make it personal.
That's bullying.
How is it personal?
They made it personal. You called him the white corner.
Well, it's rare.
Not the left or right corner. You called him the white corner.
He was playing the right side, and he's white.
Jerry Jeudy's receiving yardage total last night was
– he's not the better of the two white corners.
No, DeGene's way better, and they went to the same school.
Yeah.
Jeudy had over 200 yards receiving, and Deshaun Watson never passed for 200 yards in a game this season.
Yep. Bye-bye, Deshaun.
It should have been bye-bye, Deshaun, a long time ago. And that'll be good.
Thank you, Chief. We're live. Shell Shack in Mesquite.
Dawson just gave you a difficult look there.
13 minutes ago. Okay.
We got Dak McCarthy caving to get.
Can we get a bid on our table, please, for the Sandlot charity event? Let's go. I need some bids. Bid me.
Okay, Dak on Mike McCarthy. How much does it alter how you feel about him as head coach next season? It's coming up next. next. The G-Bag Nation live from Shell Shack.
Odyssey celebrates the holidays, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Geet on the Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Shell Shack in Mesquite. It's dinner time. If you're in the area, come on by. Delicious food and beverage. We've been crushing all day long. And it's time now for this Dak Prescott content. He has talked to his personal beat reporter, Jory Epstein, and she's doing a heck of a job, has been for a long time. Used to work with the Morning News. And this segment here is brought to you by the on-time experts, and it is the Football Hour presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. Segment's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Okay, LA Live with Lucius is coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll see how this conversation goes. We might get you some hoop in here as well. It's a Mavs game night, rim session. A number of news items are out there in the world of basketball. And the Mavs are heating up, looking for win number 5 in a row this evening. The question's going to be at 877-881-1053. There, leave your name and city you're texting from. We'll make you famous here in the G-Bag Nation. Just looking for your text here, okay? How much would this alter how you feel about Mike McCarthy? Dak Prescott hoping the Cowboys keep his coach for more seasons. The story leads and says the quarterback can't meaningfully, he's frustrated that the quarterback can't meaningfully impact his team's performance as he recovers from season-ending surgery to repair his hamstring tear. That bothers him. Says, your coach seems like he's playing on his last contract. I'm almost feeling helpless, like I can't help him in this situation, especially a guy you believe in so much and you believe in being your head coach. This was on a Tuesday afternoon conference call with Yahoo. So this just happened this afternoon. Control what I can control. Help and support Mike to every extent that I can. He said he was glad to hear Jerry Jones say last week that it's not crazy to consider McCarthy returning for a sixth season and beyond. I believe in him wholeheartedly. I don't want to necessarily get into the nuts and the screws of it, obviously, but I think he definitely deserves a chance, another contract, and a chance to coach this team amongst more influence on his terms, maybe a good way to say it. I was not sure exactly, you know, how to read that sentence. What does on his terms mean?
Is he saying that maybe that the front office involvement has hindered Mike this year?
That was the first thing that I thought of.
All of a sudden it's like, you know, you're going to play Zeke and here we go. And, you know, you're in the last year of your deal. So they feel like they can just
do whatever.
They can do whatever they want. And Mike's going to sit there and take it all.
You know, I feel strongly about Mike McCarthy as a head coach, as a culture guy, accountability. I love his schedule. I think the way they fought through this adversity and possibly emerged on the other side is fantastic. The relationship with the quarterback is huge.
Yeah.
You know? And I think if there's a way that they could make this work, I wouldn't mind seeing it all right now, but I think that's got to start with a different offensive coordinator. Maybe this starts a conversation where it's like, hey, Dak's really standing up for his guy. Do we want to move on from Mike? You know how much they like continuity.
Right.
You know, so how much does that change how you feel about it, knowing the quarterback is a big fan?
I wonder how much Dak still hold some resentment from, you know, guys like John Kitna being gone, Kellen Moore being gone. You know, those are decisions that Mike McCarthy made. I mean, you could say with the thing with Kellen Moore.
Well, Coach Nussmeier, I think, was the biggest.
Mutual. But Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier are tied together.
Yeah.
You know, and you wonder, there's the one thing that this is going to sound terrible, and it's probably going to get clipped. And
be careful, Broadus. We care about you.
Yeah. To me, I think Dak's a great politician.
Okay. All right.
I think Dak's a really great politician, and he sees the end near. And you very much show support when, behind the scenes, you're hoping like hell a Ben Johnson shows up. or somebody like that.
But, I mean, for him to go out of his way.
No. Is that's what I'm saying,
like,
though.
Hey, Jory, let's get this out here.
But who better?
Well, now, yeah, that it holds
and
a lot
Jory,
of weight.
Jory. She and Dak are extremely tight. And I'm not saying she did it as a favor. But who better than to put Dak's word out than her?
Well, no, I agree with that, but just I don't understand why you have to do it. It's not like he's at the locker and they ask him a question and he's now just has to answer something on the fly. This is like a premeditated, hey, let's put something out, bro.
And
you think it's just propaganda.
This is going to get clipped and played and all that stuff, and I'm just putting it out there. I think Dak is really, really, really good at playing this game. I think he's a very calculating guy. I think he understands what's at stake here. You know, you don't want somebody to go off and have resentment about you.
So this isn't Dak with a truth serum that we're
reading? I read this potentially as him saying, hey, got your back, but... I know you're on the way out.
And I kind of want that. I want Ben Johnson. Yeah. I can't fathom Dak being in this offense and enjoying it. Like, why, right. when he's standing on the sideline and watching Derek Carr outduel him, because Derek Carr's being put in incredible positions
and
to succeed early in the season.
You're like, other offenses, right?
Yeah. Like, last year they had to change the whole offense after the first 5 weeks because 100%. It was a disaster. Well, and then this year it's been back to the first five weeks of last year disaster.
And to my understanding, a lot of that was Dak and CD and Dak really taking the reins of the operation. I do think this could be more shots at the front office, though. Like, to me, I think this whole thing, and I know, like...
Why shoot at the front office, though, Zach, if you just got $60 million
from them? Because you are here now, and I don't think it's about the money. I think it's about putting a team around me that I can win. They failed to do that.
Well, he failed to do... Well, by taking the contract that he took, he's kind of put them in a hard space.
No, he really hasn't. They use that as the crutch. They use that as the, because you took this money, which anyone else would take, now we can't build around you.
That's simply not true. He asked for $60 million.
Yeah.
This front office that you're saying he lined up against.
Right.
But they gave it to him.
But you can still build and put players around him even by paying the quarterback. I think we're seeing that across the league. Mm. Jared Goff gets paid. What do? They open up. They pay him Amon-Ra St. Brown. They go ahead and give David Montgomery another deal.
How much do they pay?
Chris Jones gets paid in Kansas City. Travis Kelce stays. They bring in an offensive tackle
and guard. How much did the quarterback at the Rams get paid?
The Rams? Stafford?
Lions. Excuse me.
Goff isn't making as much 40? As Dak is making. 45?
Yeah. See, you can just – I'm just saying. And like I say – he's got no beef with the front office. I don't think he does.
I think every time he's taken him,
he's bent him over. He has bent this front office over.
He has, yeah.
Yeah, but
has.
I think this is just fair as fair. You know, he's playing back just like they say, we're only going to go as far as Dak is going to take us. We have to execute better. I mean, they've said things about Dak as well. I think they were, you know, in the midst of some negotiations that, you know, might have brought up some feelings. But I don't think you cape so hard for Mike disingenuously while also throwing that little shot at the front office. I think he's with team. I think he's more a Mike McCarthy guy than a Jones family guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I think he's seen the front office undermining the coach. And he's also probably not thrilled about, hey, I just saw all of these players walk out the door, and what did you do?
They had to have a revolt. It was a revolt after week six, week seven last week last year about that offense?
Oh, yeah.
It was a revolt. Him, CeeDee Lamb, this guy's a very calculating, this guy's a great politician. He knows how to play the game.
Hey, I agree.
I mean, he knows how to play it where it's like, hey, I confess, they did it. You know, and I give him credit for that.
Well, especially publicly, like you're the starting quarterback, they're asking you about your head coach. You don't really have a choice.
No.
You can't say, wow, I can't wait for a new coach.
But
that's what's interesting is this was a premeditated article. This isn't just him standing there and on the fly at a press conference being asked the question and here's my coach speak answer.
Yeah.
This is him setting something up with Jory. Like, the whole article is just quotes about Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
And so he's sitting down and and spilling this out.
So I believe in him on his terms. That might be a good way to say it, is what Dak said. I
mean, they brought back his buddy Zeke.
That's interesting.
I mean, Jory's asking for a late-season interview, you know, and they're talking about things. It might not have been the plan for me to come out and support Mike McCarthy in such a way. It was just a plan to get an interview, and now she's asking about it. And, you know, if you're in that situation, I think you lean optimistic. He always leans optimistic and supportive of his team, and I think that's one of his great qualities. You know, maybe not the most transparent thing at all times.
But so do you think he's telling the truth with these
quotes? I do, but I think what Brian is saying is playing pretty strong in my head. Like, why did this article come out today?
Yeah.
You know, why did he say what he said?
This isn't something you could have talked about after the season?
Well, he's doing a partnership with Dick's Sporting Goods. And so because of that, now it's set up a Zoom with Yahoo Sports.
Oh, no, I understand. I don't care about that. I care about why. So, like, you... The partnership thing, you can ask him questions and all that, and it just so happened that Jory's the one asking him all the questions. This
was an exclusive, right? This is a Jory Yahoo exclusive.
This dude is really smart.
Oh yeah, he's got a master's degree in business management.
He understands how things work and how you're able to manipulate things in order so you don't get blamed. You know, I'm sure there's some days where him and Mike McCarthy did not see eye to eye. And he was, and you can't tell me that he's watching other offenses around the league and watching cats get open and easy throws and stuff and not feel like, boy, we look like we're in the Stone Age playing offense here right now.
I'm not sold we can excuse Dak Prescott from the blame for this design.
Oh, no.
You've had so many different OCs and very similar route trees.
But the thing about it is, under Kellen Moore's regime, he did play better.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. He had his best game, his best season last year as runner-up for MVP.
After they went in there and told Mike McCarthy that your offense is trash.
Sure, but Mike was the head coach and Kellen was nowhere near here. And that was the best we've ever seen Dak Prescott play. Yeah.
Okay, very interesting. It is a Mavs game night. They're getting set to take on the Grizzlies here at the top of the hour. Number of injuries they continue to play through. We'll get you a little preview here in just a second. If you missed it, Al Shaair was suspended 3 games after the Lawrence hit. Most people expecting an appeal will bring that down significantly. The Dodgers now deferring $1 billion in future payments, which is just massive. Tiger Woods, long way to go before he's tour ready. I don't know if we'll ever see him out there competitive again. Melissa Nair stands tall, ends her U.S. Women's National Team career with a win. Chapman and the Red Sox agree on a 1-year deal. Let's open up this rim sesh. What do you say, Chief?
Sure, let's do this thing. We cut the lights out. We put the kids to bed. Live from Shell Shack in Mesquite, the G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim.
Rain dance.
It's always a special occasion when the Mavericks have an opportunity to play a divisional opponent for a cup game. I mean, as if it gets any bigger than this, man. These are actually two teams that are rocking and rolling right now. I'll tell you what, this rookie for the Grizzlies, old Jalen Wells, starting to tick me off a little bit. Starting to feel like they got one, you know?
Pretty good.
And, man, if it wasn't for the injuries, I think we'd be really talking about Memphis as a true Western Conference contender to some extent, like maybe a team that could get themselves to the Western Conference Finals if they could somehow stay healthy. I mean, they are extremely deep, and Morant is a little up and down with being banged up, but he is a monster when he's playing. They got a, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr., a guy who's a depoy kind of dude.
Hooping, now he's scoring a lot.
Yeah, and they're shooting the lights out of the three ball, and that's probably something that you could expect to regress at some point, but something to monitor tonight. I mean, you just saw what the Blazers were able to do from a three-point standpoint, and the Grizzlies are knocking them down at a pretty big rate here.
TCU's Desmond Bane getting it done.
Yeah.
Having a nice little career.
Yeah, and he's actually even been in a shooting slump, so that's something they can look forward to because that dude's a knockdown guy. He's going to bounce back, and that'll just be more fuel to the Grizzlies' fire right now. But this will be a fun game. I got to look at these injury reports and see what's going on. I do know Kyrie's got a little lawsuit situation going down, allegedly failing to pay almost $400K in a therapy bill. It was like some family retreat thing he put on, and then the lady who like conducted it all and was doing all sorts of different therapeutic things for, I guess, him and his family
for a half mil.
Yeah, dude, wow. It was like a week long stay somewhere, and this lady was conducting all sorts of counseling, and it was supposed to be like 60 people that attended, but then it ended up being like 150 according to this lady. So you know, you got Kyrie dealing with that tonight, but I don't know. I got to see if the Grizzlies got any injuries without tonight.
They're not missing key pieces other than Zach Edey, I think, the
Edey
rookie.
Yeah, that's a guy who's missed time, and he's actually been pretty nice when he's played.
Yeah, they're totally different than what they were a couple of years ago. I remember Ja Morant. They've turned over a lot of the roster and are playing some great basketball, so salute to the front office.
Yeah, Derek Lively questionable tonight. Walchuk said earlier in the program a deal for Giannis would be a no-go if it involved Derek Lively. So
what about Jimmy Butler?
Can put that up with Walchuk.
Right, you can definitely intrigue me with Jimmy Butler.
No, not giving up Lively.
Derek Lively, right?
Lively and Luka. You can have anyone else. Give me those two.
That's the other thing out there, Jimmy Butler. Now, this is one of those Sports Illustrated things, okay? But you got P.J. Washington, Kleba, Klay Thompson, and Lively for Jimmy Butler and his $48 million deal. I don't know if I'd do that one at 35 years old, Chief. How about you?
That's tough. You're talking about a rental piece, of course, so that probably minimizes the amount of assets you got to have going out. Certainly a win-now player, but the temperament, that can be a guy that can come into an immaculate locker room vibes-wise. And
he's an alpha.
He's a total alpha.
It's going to revolve around him.
Yes, and I don't know what, like, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie, I don't know if there's a friendship there, if there's a history, what it is. Obviously, there's none there with Luka, but, I mean, he's certainly, if the Mavericks are struggling come deadline time, he would be a guy that, he's a winner.
Yes.
He is, and he brings defense.
Yeah. If I had an aging roster full of veterans, I'd be like, yes, let's do this. But I feel like you're playing the long game for the next decade with the Mavs right now.
Good point.
Yes, sir. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has LA Live.
Shout out to all the alphas out there. Y'all be alpha watching? See who's the alpha? You walk into a room and be like, yo, that guy's the alpha over there.
Yeah, yes. Dude. It oozes off of him. It's usually very easily to tell. Oh, yeah. this is the guy.
Really? Never paid attention.
You might be an alpha.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe we're pointing to you.
I don't know. I don't know, man. All right, let's get
in. I'm usually sitting quietly in the corner.
That could be the alpha, too, though. You never know. Right. You never know. Might have that fang on him. All right, let's get into LA Live right after the great Rick James.
All right. Square. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe.
That's sweet.
It'll make you dance to some of everything. Everybody get high.
Isn't it weird how we made almost everything up and it still sucks? Isn't that crazy? Like, you know, they turn the stock market off every night and they turn it back on every morning. And they're like, we're in a bubble. It's going to burst. It's bound to happen any day now. It's like, then leave it off. What the fuck are you doing turning it back off? Today might be the day.
That's all I'm saying. If you decided, we decided. This is LA Live for Tuesday, December 3rd, 2024. It is a Toxic Tuesday here in LA Live. And if you know anything about me, you know I dig Bill Burr. Burr is one of my favorite peoples on this planet. He is my best friend and doesn't even know I exist. So shout out to Bill Burr. Not just his comedy styles that I like, but he got a heart. He will say what needs to be said in the moment that it needs to be said, regardless of who's around. Mm-hmm. And he's got good sense. Real good sense, man. I like good common sense, which, come to find out, is rare.
Yeah. I like how he gets frustrated,
He owns it. Oh. He's a pretty good actor, too.
He's a great actor. Yeah, he is.
Oh, Billy boy.
Let's see here. Yeah, when he's in town, I'm there. If he has a new hour, I'm watching it. When he's on SNL, I'm there to watch it. He crushed it, matter of fact, just a few weeks ago on SNL. But are you familiar with Billy Corgan?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Smashing Pumpkins, right?
Smashing Pumpkins. Google that guy's face up and Google up Bill Byrne, another thing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Just a rat in a cage.
You see that?
Rat in a cage.
Look at that. Those fools look just alike.
Separated birth.
Separated birth situation.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Long lost cousin.
They look just alike, bro.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how much they look alike.
That is.
Now that you say something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, just a few years older.
Yeah. Billy Corgan says Bill Burr might be his half-brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Billy Corgan was on the Howie Mandel podcast, and he's been holding this apparently for 10 years. So he decided to tell Howie Mandel instead of hitting up Bill Burr and say, hey, man, I think there might be some connection between us. He just goes on Howie Mandel's podcast and just rips it all out there. So listen to this, bro.
About 10 years ago, it sounds about right time-wise, one of my brothers was having a birthday party. And my stepmother was there, who was obviously married to my mother, not my real mother, but my stepmother.
Who was married to your father.
Yes, but who I grew up with.
Right, your father.
And my stepmother said to me, do you know who Bill Burr is? Now, at that point, I'd never heard of Bill Burr. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know he was a comedian or any. He could have been the guy down the street.
Right.
And she said, well, he's this comedian, da-da-da. And I think I even somehow called up a picture on a phone. And I kind of noticed right away, like, gee, he really looks like my father. Bill Burr looks more like my father than Bill Burr looks like me, or I look like Bill Burr. So I said to my mother, like, well, why are you asking me this? You know, I thought maybe the first thing she was just going to say, oh, you just thought you noticed the resemblance. She goes, I think it might be one of your illegitimate father's illegitimate children. Bill Burr might be one of the children that your father sired in his days on being a traveling musician.
Wait a minute, what?
That your father sired.
Yeah, sired is crazy. Sired is wild. That's a wild thing to say. Yeah, well, he's out there siring those children. But that's kind of wild because you went on Howie Mandel's podcast and told this deep, dark family secret that your stepmother told you without reaching out to Bill Burr.
Yeah.
So that means Bill Burr's dad is sitting at the crib minding his business and his wife is just scrolling through the timeline and says, oh, wait a minute, honey. Says you have a whole lot of illegitimate kids, apparently, and one of them is a rock star. Ooh. I didn't know anything about this.
Awkward.
Yeah. Talented guy. Talented swimmers there.
Yeah, so that man has had a horrible Thanksgiving, apparently, maybe, because he's got to explain to his lady, no, I didn't do that. Or did you? We need to see a DNA test.
Yes. I was 23andMe, order them up.
Who else have you been out here siring?
That's what I'm saying. How many other rock stars? By the way, if you did make Bill Burr and Billy Corgan, we need to take your balls.
That's a talented man.
Yeah.
Dip them in brass.
Take Hall
them
of
to
fame.
Take them to the fair and give them a ribbon, bro.
Those are bus-worthy balls. You didn't even have to raise them. You didn't have to do anything.
You didn't have to do anything, bro.
One pop. Millionaire.
I've been waiting for my man Bill Burr to come out and say something about this. I'm looking for his podcast. He's traveling around right now. He's on the road. If anybody knows, if he said something about it, please hit us up on the fan text and let us know. Because I can't see Billy not responding to this. Because that's an assault on his family. Or it's some stuff that should have been kept private instead of giving it to Howie Mandel's podcast.
Yeah. You should have started with, I just talked with Bill about this. He gave me the all good. So here's the story. You know, should have given it to Howard Stern is what he should have done.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No.
But that's a... That rivals Secretariat, maybe, for Bill Sr.'s ability to crank out the talented performers.
If that's what he's doing, bro. If that's what he's doing. Shout out to him, though.
I saw 12 of them in this story. I was just Googling and scanning. Mom says it looks like 12 illegitimate kids.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. Man, I've never heard this from Bill Burr saying, I got a whole lot of brothers and sisters or something like that. So, therefore, that household, he's had to do a whole lot of splaining. Nah, baby,
something tells me.
Look right here. I wasn't there at that days. You know, the type of situations.
Yeah, I don't know how you handle that. Luckily, I don't have any experience.
good for you, bro. LA Live 105.3 The Fan. I'll be following up on that Bill Burr situation as soon as I get out of here to see if Billy said anything.
Yeah. I have a feeling that we're at least in for a good viral video here in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah. That's not my brother! G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on The Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook. But you can follow us all. You find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here is Jerry Jones. Tells a story about the mascot Rowdy. Y'all know y'all see Rowdy out here. I did not know he was really a rowdy boy like that. I didn't know he is rowdy. Really gets down.
Yep.
Apparently, Rowdy's van, the Rowdy Mobile, was caught outside a strip club several times. And Jerry had to talk to him about it.
We're back in Dallas. And the Rowdy van, a Rowdy wagon, is found outside a strip place about 2 in the morning.
Time out. The Rowdy Wagon is amazing. I like that, by the way. The Rowdy Wagon.
Sounds like my favorite kinds.
Bro, it sounds like something that goes against Bigfoot. The Rowdy Wagon, Gravedigger, and wagons. Bigfoot.
We're back in Dallas. And the Rowdy van, a Rowdy Wagon, is found outside a strip place about 2 in the morning. And, of course, Rowdy basically uses that van for all kinds of birthday parties and all of those kinds of things, and it just is not the place to have it. Well, there it was in the paper, a big shot of the Rowdy van sitting in front of the strip club. So I bring him in, and boy comes in, but he doesn't have his Rowdy outfit on. It's the real boy. And I'm saying, now look, boy. I said, this is twice I've visited with you about an issue of something like this. And I said, do you understand this is getting old, and I want this stuff to stop. You're just right there on the edge, out of bounds every time I look up. And he looked over at me, and he said, Mr. Jones, I'll talk to Rowdy about it. Right there, with no outfit on at all, he says, I'll talk to Rowdy about it. I said, first of all, I like to have died. Well, how do you not love somebody that can give you that kind of reply? He's absolutely the best Rowdy that I think we've ever had, and I miss him for just because of his dare to be greatness.
Dare to be great.
He did dare to be great, didn't he?
Yeah.
Lucius, Brian knows how ultimately Rowdy's career came to an end.
I bet you do. I can only guess at this point. When Jerry said Rowdy's driving around in that wagon, I was like, what else is he doing in that wagon?
Yeah, what else is there? All these stories that led to this point.
Yeah, I'll come by and talk to you, Lucius, tomorrow at the show.
Rowdy, you can't tell this on air?
What's that?
You can't tell this story on air?
Oh, no, I don't want to do that to that guy.
Okay.
I don't want to do that.
Oh, he's still working.
Yeah, he's still working.
Okay.
But he's working, but he's in our market. But, yeah, he's doing something else.
I hear he's a hell of a photographer.
I will say this story.
Oh, boy.
I will say this story.
Is that a hint?
Yeah. I'll say this story. Like, he got fired. He got fired as Rowdy. And they had a contest where they said, okay, we're going to name a new Rowdy. He got back in the contest and won.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wait a second. Didn't we just fire you? I won the contest.
And they said, okay, we're going to have a Rowdy contest. They put on the Rowdy suit and go out there and perform. And Charlotte and them are all, like, sitting there, and they're like, that guy's the best Rowdy.
That's the one.
And it was
same guy. He takes the Rowdy hat off, and the big reveal is, oh crap, it's the same guy.
It's the same guy, but my guy is Lucius. Seriously, I'll come by and tell you these stories. You'll love them.
Skills don't lie. My man showed up again. He must be one of them. He's one of them. He's one of ones.
Did they let him back in?
A lot of skills. Oh yeah, they let him back in. Yeah.
Wow, what a legend.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's balls right there.
Yeah. How you gonna name somebody Rowdy and don't expect them to be a little rowdy? You gotta call him Cowboy Chill if that's what you need.
Well, it's funny with that, you know, the Rowdy face has that big smile on it.
Uh-huh.
So there's some things going on where those...
Can you put the Rowdy head on?
Hi, what do you
little Rowdy role play?
What do you do? I'm Rowdy.
Instead of fuzzies, it's Rowdy time.
Oh,
I think it's coming on out. I think we're getting to it.
Yeah.
I think we're flushing this one on out right here.
My man loved to stay in character, that guy.
He's all about staying in character.
He's a true actor.
Hey, shout out to that media that took a photo of Rowdy's rowdy van out there in the strip club parking lot and put it on the darn newspaper. Yeah. What a hater you are, bro! Yeah. What a hater, bro! You gotta do it, though. Hey, there was a Philly man shot for calling someone's dog skinny.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Disrespect to someone's dog. ABC Action News. Man said he was outside watching TV on his sidewalk. Does that not hit different for y'all? My man was outside watching TV on his sidewalk.
Was he grilling? And
shout out to Philly.
Whole tailgate.
See, that was kind of nice.
I lived there, and I used to walk by those brownstones, and those dudes would be sitting in their stoop, you know, right out front.
Stoop. Kids afraid to leave a stoop.
But it never – I never saw a TV. I just saw a bunch of dudes sitting around talking all the time.
Yeah.
You know? But no TVs.
No, they're outside. Philly's a different place. It's not real.
Yeah, everybody's outside. Everybody's outside.
Yeah, a man said he was outside watching TV on the sidewalk with his dog. His dog name is Bella. Bella! Then a man that's 56 years old named Paul Sanders walked up with his own dog at the same time. Paul Sanders didn't want the dog near him. I'm talking about Bella. So.
He said, get your skinny ass dog away from me, sir.
Basically, I'm trying to read the rest of this real fast.
You're killing it.
I'm working on the fly.
Yeah, Paul Sanders didn't want the dog near him, and Henry's there watching TV on the sidewalk, mentioned the man's dog looks skinny as hell and needs to be fed. Minutes later, the 56-year-old dude came back around the corner with a 20-year-old.
Oh,
the 20-year-old is the shooter.
Yeah.
He got him a little crash dummy to come do a little dummy mission for me. Come do a dummy mission for me. Come crash out. Shot the guy that talked about his little skinny dog. Mm. I got the little story right here for you.
Bow! I'm like, Lucius, I can't see on the screen. You wear your glasses today?
No. That's why that little paragraph got kind of thick for me. It got kind of thick. I was swimming in them words for a minute, brother.
I thought you were scrambling trying to find those glasses on top of your head.
I did.
Where did I put them, damn it?
Where are they? Oh, they're on the top of my head.
Oh, dang it. Yeah.
Hey, so this dude right here in Philly that got shot over talking to someone's dog, he calls it dog talk. He's got a pretty animated interview with the news right here. Check this out.
Bow! I'm like, yo, you shot me?
That was the moment Darnell Henry nearly died. You can see his arm is in a sling now after the bullet went through his shoulder.
Hit me right here. So I'm like, I'm not refilling it. I didn't even know the bullet was here.
He says he was outside watching TV in front of his house on West Oakdale Street in Strawberry Mansion early on Sunday morning, November 3rd. Now, according to Henry, his dog Bella walked up to 56-year-old Paul Sanders, who was walking his own dog at the time, and Sanders did not want the dog near him. At one point, Henry tells us that he mentioned that the man's dog looked skinny and believes that's why he came back with a friend a few minutes later and shot him.
I'm more angry than anything, like, yo, like, really, we couldn't, over a dog talk, bro? A dog talk. This is nothing else but talking about how his dog will be mine, no, feed your dog, and walk away. I get a bullet for that?
A bullet for that?
He literally caught a stray.
It was just
There we go.
I'm back.
There we go. Good job, Roderick. You can go ahead and pack your stuff up and go ahead and leave early today after that joke.
You hear what I'm saying?
You're good to go, bro.
For the year.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Bravo Zulu right there.
Bravo Zulu.
Bravo Zulu. I got another clip, but I'm not going to play it that. All right, I'll do this one time. I'll get this out of the way. Have you heard of a band called the Cleverleys?
No, sir.
No, sir.
The Cleverleys, bluegrass and comedy-style band.
I like that stuff.
Yeah. The main member's named Paul Harris. He go by Digger.
Woo!
Digger Cleverley.
Okay.
God, boy. I feel so uncomfortable. My ancestors are so mad at me right now. In shame. Lucius, get it together. But members of this band play double bass, banjo, fiddles, you know, bluegrass style. They've like redone.
Washboard.
Yeah. Ooh, that little jar. They've redone songs like Walk Like an Egyptian, No Diggity, Angel by Shaggy, Kiss the Girl, Gangnam Style. They've done that too. Okay. And here's a little sample of them doing Low by Flo Rida.
Yeah. The Cleverleys, check them out tonight at the Paramount in Bristol. Here they are this afternoon on News 5 and In.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, this is good.
I knew you were going to like it.
This is good.
Shorty got them apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur. The whole club was looking at her. She hit the floor.
She hit the floor.
Next thing you know, Shorty got
low.
Got them baggy sweatpants and the Reeboks with the straps.
Here we go.
With the straps.
Turn around and gave that big booty a slap.
Hey!
She hit the floor. Next thing you know, Shorty got low.
One of the best covers I've ever heard.
Yeah, I like that. That's the Cleverleys. Go check them out online somewhere, the Cleverleys. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. That's my time. I'll see you. Holla.
There he goes, Lucius Alexander. Every night, LA Live 540. We're live at Shell Shack in Mesquite for one more hour. And coming up next, it's a Tuesday tradition, gentlemen. Boom Shaka Lock, TD Tuesday in the house. We'll celebrate the NFL and college football weekend that was next here on the Fan.